This is UN News. I'm Mayra Lopez. Since the Taliban took back power as the de facto authority in Afghanistan in 2021, women's rights have come under attack. Today, the country barely makes the headlines, despite the ongoing suppression of women's rights and humanitarian crises, such as earthquakes and recent floods. Despite many challenges, the UN has never left Afghanistan and continues to provide the support it needs. Jorge Moreira da Silva, the head of UN Office for Project Services, recently returned from a visit to the country to inspect some of the office's initiatives. He joins me now. Hi, Jorge. Thanks for being with us today. Can you give us a brief overview of what the UNOPS is? And what exactly is the project that you're carrying in Afghanistan?
Well, UNOPS is the UN agency that is focused on operations. So what we basically do is, on behalf of our partners, being the sister UN agencies, the multilateral development banks, and the developing countries, we partner with them on the implementation of projects, basically on infrastructure, on health, education, energy, transportation, on procurement, public procurement, and also on project management. So it's an agency that is operating in 100 countries, mm-hmm. Providing more than 1,000 projects a year, implementing projects that amount to $3 to $4 billion. One thing that is particularly relevant when it comes to UNOPS presence is the fact that we have a highly presence on fragile contexts, and particularly in conflict and affected countries. So 50% of all our activities are concentrated in the highly fragile conflict and violent contexts.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about what is going on in Afghanistan specifically.
Well, as part of our work, we work in Ukraine, Afghanistan, Somalia, Sudan, South Sudan, Mali, Haiti, Mozambique, Myanmar, Yemen. So you see that we are present in those difficult contexts. And now some of those crises became almost forgotten. Mm-hmm. We have a strong presence in Ukraine, we have a strong presence in Gaza, we are working every day in those conflicts, but somehow the other pending crises disappeared from the public conversation and from the discussion. It didn't disappear from UNOPS activities and focus. That's why I went to Afghanistan to see on the ground, in practical terms, what's the result of the projects that we are developing in Afghanistan, also engaging with the people and engaging with the civil society. So in Afghanistan, we decided to stay and deliver, to support the people, regardless the relationship with the new regime. So our focus is supporting the people. And why is this so important? Because in Afghanistan, you have 50% of the population living in extreme poverty. Mm-hmm. 70% of the people have no possibility to buy food. Afghanistan is the most fragile context in the world, probably with Somalia, Yemen, and Sudan. So it's the most fragile context. So our presence is important, particularly because in addition to those social and economic vulnerabilities, Afghanistan is also being affected by floods, climate dramatic events, and earthquakes. Mm-hmm. So our projects on the ground are one of the projects, probably the most visible and relevant, is something that we are doing in partnership with the World Bank called Community Resilience and Livelihoods. So UNOPS, with this project that amount to $300 million, in the last 2 years, we have provided cash for work, employment opportunities for men and women in Afghanistan to do some works on construction, constructing streets, cleaning water canals. These projects are not identified by UNOPS, are not decided by the government, by the de facto authorities. It's the local communities. The local communities with whom we work with 10,000 local communities. This project takes place in 10 cities, 97 rural districts, 10,000 communities. So those communities, they decide what should be the street or the road to be rebuilt or reconstructed. What should be the water canal to be cleaned. And in these last 2 years, we provided opportunities for 1.3 million people. So those men and women got payment for the work that we were doing, so employment opportunities. Through that, 50 million people benefit from these facilities, from this infrastructure that was rebuilt or renewed. But we also provided opportunities for more than 100 companies, private sector. So I went there to see on the ground the impact of the work, and I was very impressed to see the impact on the people. I heard directly from the local communities in Kabul, but also in Herat, their participation on the design of the project. I heard women telling me that if it wouldn't be because of this project, they would not have access to some financial opportunities because they are the only source of income. I was also very impressed to see my team, 300 colleagues that are there. A big part of them are Afghan. A significant part of them are women Afghan that go every day, despite the difficult circumstances, they go every day to the office to work, even if they face, I insist, very severe circumstances. So in a nutshell, I saw the project working, delivering results for the people. I saw my team being very engaged, and the fact that if we wouldn't have women working at UNOPS, it would be impossible to reach out to women on the ground to involve them on the project. And obviously, I also met the Taliban. I met the DFA. I met the Deputy Prime Minister from the DFA. I met a Minister of Rural Development. I met the Governor. And the message that I shared was very simple, but quite, I would say, emphatic. Mm-hmm. We decided to stay and deliver in this country to support the people. We remain committed in supporting the people. But it wouldn't be possible to go beyond what we are doing and to address new needs if the DFA, if the regime, does not do something very important, which is bringing girls back to the school.
And how was it?
And bringing women back to all the working opportunities.
Yeah.
So I think that it was important to share this message, particularly because we have some sort of moral authority, because we decided to stay in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we decided to stay in the country, supporting the people, gives us the chance to, in a very blunt, transparent, and straightforward manner, to pass this message. I'm sure that there was a result. Every time there is a head of an agency going there, the DSG, Amina Mohamed, also went there. Mm-hmm. Several colleagues went there. When I was there, Jean-Pierre Lacroix and Rosemary Di Carlo were also there. So we were three USGs in the same week in Afghanistan. We all passed the same message. So I believe that the fact that we stay in the country supporting the people, but at the same time we communicate in a very transparent manner about principles and values, will have a result. I hope that it will be the case.
Yeah, this is very interesting to hear that you're meeting with the de facto authorities and you're able to negotiate with them, to discuss with them. Is that something that is still happening for maybe future projects, or was this specific for this project that we are talking about?
Let me clarify something. We met with them, but we do not negotiate with them.
Okay.
What does it mean? It means that we are accountable to the international community, we are accountable to the people of Afghanistan, and we are accountable to our partners. In this case, it was the World Bank, but in other projects, it with other partners. That means that the regime knows that we are there, but we do not enter into any kind of negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
So the projects are being developed based on the mandate that we receive from our partners,
mm-hmm.
and also following UN principles, values, and norms. And the fact that we engage, which is different than negotiating, the fact that we engage and we share the results of our project allow us to also emphasize that if women are not allowed to have all the professions that they aspire to, if girls that now in the age above 12 are forbidden to go to the school, that affects the development of the country. So mm-hmm. it's not a UN perspective. It's not about the just about the values and norms of the UN. It's about the future of the country. Mm-hmm. If half of the country is not involved and benefiting from development, of course the outcome will be not sufficiently comprehensive. And this project is just one project. We also develop other projects, namely in Herat, the area affected by four major earthquakes 6 months ago. You remember those earthquakes have killed 1,500 people, destroyed 48,000 households.
Yeah.
So I went to Herat to see not only to engage with the community, but also to see the progress on our projects. We were involved at the very beginning in Herat on the rescue operation, on the recovery, and now we are involved on the reconstruction. So reconstructing schools, reconstructing health centers, reconstructing households. And I could see at the same time that I was visiting those areas affected by the earthquake, completely devastated. Same time I was seeing the floods, because
yes.
it was the same week of
wow.
the massive floods in the same areas, not only those areas, but also Herat was affected. And I suddenly realize again that this country has been hit by a series of dramatic events.
Yeah.
It's the most fragile context, and it is important that the community, international community, doesn't forget Afghanistan, doesn't forget the people. Of course, I left the country with a sense of accomplishment, because we are delivering, but at the same time with a sense of non-conformism, because mm-hmm. I feel that there is so many things that are needed and should be done that obviously requires a presence on the ground.
I know that we have to let you go because you have a very busy week here in New York. There's something else that I would like to ask you before we finish. You said a few times about the forgotten crisis. How does that impact in funding?
In our case, our funding model is quite different than other agencies. So
mm-hmm.
We are not funded by core funding or earmarking. Our funding model is based on full cost recovery fee, which means that when a country, a government, or a UN agency or a multilateral development bank wants to implement an infrastructure or launch a procurement project or a project that needs to be managed, they contract us
mm-hmm.
Through us to implement the project, and we charge a fee to recover our costs, namely the people that are involved on the project.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean? It means that we are demand driven. And therefore, rather than being under a huge pressure to fundraise,
uh-huh.
that is not our case, we basically depend on the demand. So when there is a demand, we provide the project. Your question was whether if I'm seeing that there is less demand
yeah.
from those forgotten crises. Hopefully, it's not the case. We
okay.
still have lots of demand from governments, from UN agencies, from MDBs to work in this context. For instance, as I mentioned, beyond Gaza and beyond Ukraine, we have a series of new contracts in Mozambique,
mm-hmm.
in Somalia, Yemen, Sudan, South Sudan, Haiti, Myanmar. So you see some of the crises that are very significant and somehow disappear from the international discussion,
yeah.
we still have demand, which means that the international community and the partners are still quite connected and engaged with those crises, which gives me hope. So I always like to discuss those things from a perspective that is also positive. And multilateralism works. So if it wouldn't be the UN presence in some of these contexts, the situation would be even more difficult, stark. So I think that when we engage on this discussion, it's important to bring the attention of people about the new needs, but also reassuring the citizens in the world mm-hmm. that we are delivering, we stay and deliver, even when the things are no longer on the news, we stay in those contexts. And of course, I feel very impressed by the stories that I get also from my team in Gaza, my team in Ukraine, my team in Afghanistan. For instance, in Afghanistan, my colleagues, those 50 women from Afghanistan, they were telling me that they go every day to the work without knowing what would happen to them in the way to the work. Mm. In Ukraine, a colleague of ours saying that she's a mother, but saying that every evening she has to decide which son or daughter will go to the bathtub because it's the safest place in the house, and they no longer have the patience to go to the shelters in the street. So when the sirens sound during the evening due to the strikes, they decide who will be safe. And then in the day after, she was there in the office working. In Gaza, I saw a colleague of mine when I entered to Gaza that was a driver that was bringing the humanitarian aid, telling me the story that the previous evening his house was completely destroyed. And the next day he was there to work with me and to show me what he was doing. So you can see that one of the advantages, I would say, in going to those contexts is not only engaging with the people, but also understanding through my team, how can we support them when they work in those very difficult contexts?
Yeah, I promise it's my last question, but I have to ask, just because you're telling us a little bit from the human perspective, are there any stories from the ground or any testimonies from women in Afghanistan? Do they still feel hope, or do not by now they feel kind of left behind?
I had the chance, and of course it's difficult, yeah. And I did not want to expose women to any context that would enhance their insecurity, but I still had the chance to meet with women. So when I visit the neighborhoods in Kabul, also in the rural areas, I always found a way to calmly sit on the floor and to engage with communities, men and women, and I had separate meetings with women. And I was quite moved when they explained to me, a few of them, that this project, giving them the working opportunities, was important, because one of them telling me that I'm the only source of income because my husband passed away. Mm-hmm. The other said my husband is sick. My husband is drug addicted and he ran away from home. So the only chance that I had to bring food to my children and to feed them was through this UN project. Mm-hmm. So of course, this kind of stories are very moving. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I heard my colleagues, the women, and I realized that those women in Afghanistan that benefit from this project, mm-hmm. getting cash, employment opportunities, we only get the chance to engage with them, to select them, to communicate with them, because there were women working at UN. Because as you know, from a cultural point of view, if there is no women working at UN, you cannot reach out to women on the ground. Uh-huh. So obviously, for me, it was very clear that the role of women in Afghanistan is a sine qua non condition to foster better development and a more effective development. But I also heard my colleagues, men working in Afghanistan, Afghan men, explaining that obviously it's so difficult to explain to their children, their daughters, mm-hmm. that are 13 or 14 or 15 or 16, that they have to stay at home, that cannot go to the school. So I think it's important that as a consequence of this, or I would say, it's important that as a consequence, we do not leave just because we don't like the policies. We don't like the policy, of course. We need girls back to the school, and we need women getting access to all professions. But to be capable to say those things, you have to be there and to stay there, supporting the people. So it is possible to support the people without compromising or entering into any kind of trade-off on principles.
Mm-hmm.
UNOPS has managed to deliver entirely what we wanted through this project without compromising. So we did not have to choose between defending women or delivering on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
No, we proved that it is possible to support the people and still having a very blunt conversation with the regime, saying that you need to bring girls back to the schools.
Yeah. Jorge, cannot thank you enough
Thank you.
For being here today, and hopefully we'll talk more soon.